Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And we'll get together here. Appreciate the good singing as well. I like singing near your pastor because we have a lot in common. He sings open letter. We just open the book up and let her rip. So kind of sing the same. Amen. So that's good. That's a good thing. My daughter was asking me about what key I was singing in. I said, well, we're talking about singing parts. And I said, I have a good part I sing. And what part do you sing? I sing the part that I feel most comfortable singing and that sounds good to me. Now, that might mean I change keys 3 times in the middle of a song, but as long as I'm happy, that's all right. So we make a joyful noise. Amen. Well, let's see, John chapter 1. Let's stand one more time. John chapter 1. You'd stand again with me. John chapter 1. And verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that we meet in a place where the doors are open and the light's on. Lord, let this church never fear what the world and what man shall do unto it, but obey God rather than man. Lord, we ask now that You would indeed heal hearts, those who do carry burdens, they've lost loved ones. There's empty seats at the table this year. And You said, my grace is sufficient. We can't see that, but we can have the assurance that You will be everything we need in the time of loss. Lord, I ask You to bless now this time together. Bless these days ahead as we look to a new year and make sure our hope is in our captain, that our hope is in the one who conquered death and the grave. By Him do all things consist. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your word. Bless now in these moments together in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. The first 3 words of verse 14, and the Word, are the climax of the first 13 verses of the chapter, and the Word. from before the world began, in and from eternity past, the Word was with God and the Word was God. It was in this pre-creation time that the elect were chosen in Christ. The Word, hidden in the bosom of the Father, spoke the worlds into existence, revealing Himself to the creation. And the Word was made flesh. Made flesh. The infinite becomes finite. He who was invisible becomes tangible. A.W. Pink said it was the transcendent became imminent. He became what He was not previously. He did not cease to be God, but became man. If you look with me in Hebrews chapter 7, one verse in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7. Look there at verse 26. He says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." That one verse destroys bad doctrine, heresy, false gospels, that He was separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. This union of God and man is a mystery to us. As the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one more verse here. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." He became what He was not previously. He did not cease to be God, but became man. The union of God and man, as I said, is a mystery to us. When the theologians have it all figured out, that's the time to run and burn their books, because it will always be a mystery to us. Well, then what do we have? We have the Word of God. And we can trust the Word of God, not the Christian philosophers. The Word can be considered His divine title. The Word became flesh, speaks of His humanity, His incarnation, the union of the two natures. This is necessary to fill the office of mediator. By the Word becoming flesh, it was now possible for Him to die. He becomes a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has also left us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. This union is never meant as a subtraction, but as an addition. Many bad doctrines are coming out of that thought that we lose something in Bethlehem. No, we gain as an addition. Jesus was God in the flesh. We see an admixture of this. We see the Old Testament prophecies in Genesis, and we see the seed of the woman. In Deuteronomy, we see a prophet like unto Moses. In 2 Samuel, we see the seed of David. Isaiah 42 mentions Jehovah's servant. Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows. Mr. Pink says He became what He was not previously, though He never ceased to be all that He was before. The babe of Bethlehem was Emmanuel, God with us. As verse 1 of the chapter emphasized, Christ being God. As verse 14 emphasizes, the humanity again of Christ. If we go to Hebrews chapter 1 again with me. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So I have a second revelation of Jesus Christ. No, He said He has spoken unto us by His Son. He has spoken unto us by the Word of God, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had made the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Now we can add one more thing here. He did not merely clothe Himself in flesh. More heresy. He made, became flesh. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2, in 1 John chapter 4, 2, He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What's He saying? He said He came in the flesh. It wasn't just a garment that He was wearing. So how does that work? I don't understand that. Neither do I. I just know what the Bible says. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In other words, He did not just come as some type of strange spirit. He came in the flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, but not sinful, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. God was made a man, but not a sinner. If there's one thing you can understand, is understand this: He was not a sinner, and He was not made a sinner, and He did not take on all the ramifications of having flesh as a sinner would, or as a regular human would. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All that to say this, that God became man. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, and He dwelt among us. He tabernacled with us. He journeyed with us. Matthew Henry said, first, that he dwelt here. First, that he dwelt here in very mean circumstances, as shepherds that dwell in tents. Secondly, his state here was a military state. Soldiers dwell in tents. He had long since declared war with the seed of the serpent, and now he takes the field in person, sets up his standard, and pitches his tent to prosecute this war. Thirdly, that his stay among us was not to be perpetual. He dwelt here as in a tent, not as at home. Fourthly, that as of old, God dwelt in the tabernacle of Moses, but now dwells in the human nature of Christ. So God, the Word, dwelt in a body of flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Only begotten of the Father. He is the only Son of God by nature, placed above men and angels. He is the only true begotten of God. First John tells us that He sent His only begotten Son. Jesus came to earth from the Father in a real body, the express image, the ambassador of God. Verse 18 even tells us where He came from. It said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Full of grace and truth, we said. Look at Exodus chapter 33 with me if you can. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Exodus 33:18, He says, and He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now look at chapter 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. He was full of grace and truth. God, man, mediator. In John chapter 1, verse 15, He says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For He was before me. And He didn't just mean physically. He meant He was before me all the time. He was before me in existence. Micah 5:2, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He didn't just show up in Bethlehem. This is not something new. This is something God has revealed now in Bethlehem. He is my successor, John the Baptist will say. My superior, as well as my Savior. Verse 16 says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, fullness. Fullness brings out the absolute deity of Savior. It is the same word used in Colossians. And we saw, see about fullness and perfect and full and completeness. The fullness have already received. And grace for grace. So now this phrase here is a very powerful phrase. We could preach this one verse. Everything we have is because of His fullness. He went and Ezekiel told him, he said, listen, he said, I passed by in a field and I found you polluted in your own blood. And I said, live. And all the comeliness you had and all the beauty you had and all the prosperity you had and all the good things you had were only because of my comeliness and because of my beauty. Anything good we have was because one day He said, live. As the brother said in the prayer, because He said, Lazarus, come forth, he could come forth. It's not entropy. It's not luck. It's not karma. It's not chance. It's His fullness have all we received and grace for grace. Out of the divine fullness have all the believers received life. John says, and I gave unto them eternal life. John 14, he said, I've given you peace. John 15 said, I've given you joy. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. Everything received from Him. Everything is by grace. We were chosen before the foundation of the world by grace. All creation by grace received life. From the darkness and void to a dead man made of clay, to we who were dead in sins and in trespasses. All power, His power, creates, saves, quickens, makes alive, and by Him does all things, do all things consist, are made to continue, are held together, are given life. This means that every single life, light and grace, comes from His. It does not come from any other place. There is no other place. There is no other source. There's no passing energies, no passive energies. His light, His life. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 17, he says, for the law was given by Moses. And with that in mind, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was awful and threatening, yet it showed our sin. It showed our failure. And it drug us guilty to Sinai and then to the cross. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So God, the Trinitarian God, Christ speaks, reveals, and is revealed, declared Christ, and He hath declared Him. He hath shown everything there is to know about the Father we receive from the Son. Christ led us to the Father. The Word interpreted or recounted God to us. If you look in John 14 and read a couple of verses here. John 14 verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now these first 18 verses, the Godhead, Christ, the Word, always existing from eternity past, choosing us by grace, created all things, keeps all things, consisting, subsisting. John the Baptist preaching repentance, preparing men's hearts for the Son of God. Perfect man, perfect mediator. These verses speak of His omniscience, of His omnipresence, His omnipotence. It speaks of our depravity. It speaks of election. It speaks of grace. And it speaks of the incarnation. All in 18 verses of John chapter 1. We'll leave you with just a couple of thoughts here and let you move on today. In verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. This verse terminates the introduction of this chapter to the Gospel of John. And it summarizes the verses for us. So the bare bones of the word is this: no man hath seen God at any time. The Greek language can be very strict in its grammar. One source would tell us that God hath no man ever seen. In a wider sense, we see this other idea in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll look there for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to be done here in just a minute. I just don't want to leave you hanging with this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. He says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He said, no man has seen God at any time. We see this in a wider sense, not one man, no man. As to what was seen in the Old Testament, it could be a deep study with varied opinions, but the word seen may be the key. The simple definition is to see with the eyes, but also to see with the mind. In other words, to see, to perceive, to know, to even become acquainted with by experience. This is not a mere gaze, but a voluntary, critical beholding. It implies a deliberate contemplation, not just to satisfy the eye, but a mental and or spiritual interest in the thing being beheld. No man has seen God at any time. John Gill said that is God the Father, whose voice was never heard, nor His shape seen by angels or men. For through Jacob, Moses, the elders of Israel, Manoah and his wife are said to see God. And Job expected to see Him with his bodily eyes. And the saints will see Him as He is, in which will lie their great happiness. Yet all seems to be understood of the second person, who frequently appear to the Old Testament saints in human form and will be seen by the saints in heaven in His real human nature. The essence of God is invisible and not to be seen with the eyes of the body, nor indeed with the eyes of understanding, so as to comprehend it, nor immediately, but through and by certain means. The last part of this quote sums up everything we've learned in the beginning of this chapter. He says, but above all, in Christ, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. This may chiefly intend here man's not knowing anything of God in a spiritual and saving way, but in and by Christ. So what are we knowing here? That means the only thing we'll ever know of the Father is by the Son. everything will know of the Lord. All that will understand of His Word. The verse points to a contrast. In the past, God, in the fullness of His glory, was unmanifested. No man had seen Him. But now, God is fully revealed. The Son hath declared Him. And it is that Son that I preach to you today. It is He that I've come. It is He who we call witness against heaven and earth, against lost men. That the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That it is by Christ that the worlds were created, and by Him do all things consist. And it is He who said that all that the Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have all these promises. We have all these promises in our inheritance, being incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is the same Christ. So I don't understand all the theology. It's confusing. Understand this. The reason you stand on this sort of green earth, wherever you might live, is because of Christ. Because of grace and because of the mercy of God, that when He spoke the worlds into existence, you were not an afterthought. You didn't have come later. You weren't something He summed up with. He already had you in mind, already had chosen you out, and so that you would be His child. And vouchsafing for you, doing every single thing to go down in the slave market, choose you out for Himself, by Himself, then bringing you out in redemption and providing every single thing you would need physically, mentally, and emotionally, and in the after time to come, already provided by Him. That's this Christ. And that's who I hope you serve tonight. If it's somebody else, if it's your own choosing, if it's a God of your own making, if it's something in your imagination, that's not the God of the Bible. And your Redeemer is false, and your hope is all lost. Father, we ask You to take our time today. So much here. The pastor could spend a few weeks just straightening this all out. So much. But the intent was clear, I believe, that after all the different nuances and semantics, that in Bethlehem, all of a sudden, the God of heaven was now also man. Became sin, took our sin, would willingly be offered up. And I don't know if anyone held their breath, but after 3 days You accepted the sacrifice. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's our hope this Christmas time. And that's really what the incarnation is all about. Thank You, Lord, for the word. Thank You for the truth of the gospel. Thank You that we have safety and peace. And though we might not have perfect health and perfect circumstances and perfect relationships, but our hope is Christ. We ask You to take all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.